Last week we talked about people being overwhelmed and overscheduled, exhausted. And I can see it sometimes in people's body language. I hear it in conversations. There's just a lot of zombies in life. That's how they're living. You know it. You feel it. Our friends know it. The people that we work with know it. And our families definitely know it. And friends, God did not design us to live that way. God created us fearfully and wonderfully. Jesus said, the thief, he's talking about the evil one, Satan, comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come in order that you might have life, life in all of its fullness. Jesus promised all Christ followers an abundant life, a life full of purpose, joy, peace, contentment. But not very many are living that way. I mean, I hear that chronic complaint a lot. I'm slammed. I have way more than I can possibly do. And there's this frenzy to living, this kind of a rushed lifestyle. And so people aren't living the abundant life. They're living lives like a zombie, just kind of dead inside. Last week, we talked a little bit about allowing God to do some liposuction in our lives, to cut some of the fat out of our schedule. And today, what I want to do is focus our entire session on talking about time, talking about our schedules. When I was a freshman in college, I was studying for the ministry at that point, and I had an older pastor that I got together with on a regular basis, and he was mentoring me. Now, we didn't call it mentoring back in that day, but that's exactly what he was doing. He was speaking into my life. He was pointing and directing, and he raised a lot of questions, and he challenged me. He helped me with some of the challenges that I was going through in my life. And he was teaching me leadership principles as I was kind of getting my feet wet. And so we would get together about once a month, and we would talk, and he would have a topic that he would bring up. And so we were having breakfast one morning, and he said, let's talk about time. He said, you know, Christ followers above all others should be good stewards of time. Says Christ followers should manage their time entirely different than people in the world. And we talked about that for a while. And then I remember him asking me a question that he kind of left with me. And he said, how would you spend your time if God called all the shots? He paid the bill and then he left. And I remember sitting in the booth thinking about that question. I finally got in my car, I headed to class, but the question challenged me. How would you spend your time if God called all the shots? And it was kind of a new idea for me. I'd never really thought about it a whole lot. Since then, I've thought about this one a whole lot. I've always had an interest in schedules. My own, and other people's schedules. I believe schedules are extremely revealing. You know, Jesus had a daily schedule, a weekly schedule, a monthly schedule. He had a yearly schedule. And as you read Scripture, it's kind of revealed through the pages. Some of the famous people in history have very interesting schedules. You know, Winston Churchill, they said he would get up at 7 o'clock every morning. And then he would work from his bed till 11 noon every day. That was part of his daily routine. Leonardo da Vinci, he would take two-hour naps throughout the day. When he got tired, he'd take a two-hour nap because he didn't want to waste the 8 hours at night. He felt like that was a block of time that he wanted to protect. And so he would have several naps through the day. It was part of his schedule. You know, some of you are starting your nap this morning already, you know, but, I mean, notable people in history that kept documented schedules that we're able to look at today. And here's the thing that I figured out about people that live life well. They experiment with their schedule until they find a formula that works for them. In other words, their schedule may be very unique, but they had the power to kind of individuate from society. They're able to break from these societal standards. And I guess the thought was, I need a schedule that works for me and what I do. Which brings me to the question for the morning. Is your current schedule working for you? And I know this morning as I'm saying that, some of you are thinking, really? We're going to talk about schedules today? I mean, I'm at church. This should be something more substantial. We ought to talk about spiritual things and God-honoring things. Friends, in my opinion, this is my opinion, the way that you arrange your daily schedule is the most important decision that you'll ever make about living life. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, that will be the most important decision you ever make. I believe that by rearranging, overhauling your schedule, you can change your future. Your schedule, your calendar, plays a critical role in who you will become. As a Christ follower, as a spouse, as a parent, as a worker, or a boss, or as a friend. And I don't think this is an exaggeration. See, I truly believe that when you sit down with your schedule, when you plan your day, you're making a choice and choices that have far greater impact than you can imagine. And that's why I'm going to spend time with this today. You know, the Apostle Paul, he writes, he says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the what? Time. Because the days are evil. Now, I'm going to give you a little peek into where I am today on this whole schedule thing. Something shifted for me about 20 years ago. My schedule is not so much about what I have to get done. It is more about who I want to become. I believe most people set their schedules and they start by putting together a list, you know, where they need to be, when they need to be there, that kind of thing, so that you don't lose your job, so that you don't forget to pick the kids up, get a bad reputation in town because you left your kids at soccer practice or whatever. But most start with the things that have to be done, things that if you forget them or neglect them, that it kind of jams you up and makes a mess of the day. So what happens is we put all the have-to stuff in our schedule. And it creates what I call a treadmill. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. Too tired to raise your hands, right? I mean, seriously, we build this treadmill, and it's God help me get through this. People do this week after week and month after month and year after year. And then one day you look back and you go, 10 years has gone by. I put my schedule together that way all the way through high school, all the way through college, through the early years with my family, my early years in ministry. And friends, I might still be doing that today if it hadn't been for my girls. At the time, Stacy and Alicia, they were about 8 and 11. I was pastoring three churches up in the Palmyra area, and I was going to school in Chicago one day a week. I was working on my Master of Divinity. And I remember one evening, I was gathering my stuff up. I was getting ready to head out the door to another meeting. And my girls asked me just a simple question. And they said, Dad, are you going to be gone again tonight? And those words kind of stuck. You know, they kind of cut. And as I was driving to the meeting, in my mind, I'm going, why am I going? And the answer was easy. I was going to the meeting because it was on my schedule. I had been gone the night before to a meeting because it was on my schedule. I would be gone for the next two nights because school was on my schedule. And so I started this kind of wrestling with my schedule on a whole new level, new perspective. For the first time, I started thinking about, should my schedule include non-work stuff? In other words, should I look at my schedule in a more holistic way? Look at the total package. And so I started asking really tough questions. You know, how often do I consult God or ask God to help me in making decisions about my schedule? How often do I pray about it? How often do I allow the Holy Spirit to challenge or affirm my scheduling decisions? And so I'm feeling this tension inside me. It's a tension between cramming stuff on my schedule and honoring God with my schedule. And I remember heading to Chicago that next day. It's a four-hour drive. Didn't have a cell phone. It was me and God in the road. And my girl's question just kind of bouncing around in my head. And I asked myself this. How much time do I need to invest in order to be a great dad? I mean, how much time do I need to invest, not to be an average dad, but to be a great dad? A dad that they deserved to have. And so I just asked God, I said, God, you got to give me some wisdom on this. And I could feel the Holy Spirit kind of pressing me a little bit. And by the end of that drive, I really sensed that I was supposed to clear out three nights a week. And inside me, I was going, are you kidding me? I can't do that. And the Holy Spirit just pressing me. You know, Damon, this is doable. Down the road, your girls are older. You can shift gears. But they are only young once, three nights a week. You need to be present and available for your kids. And somehow God gave me the courage to get very intentional about my schedule. I talked to some of my colleagues that we'd get together and kind of support each other. I told them what I was getting ready to do. And I remember all of them were like, Damon, your kids just need a couple hours a week. And I'm looking at these guys that give their kids a couple hours a week. And many of them, their kids were a mess. A lot of anger, resentment to ministry. And I'm thinking, I do not want my girls to turn out like that. I do not want them to resent me or to resent ministry. They deserve better. God's blessed me with them. And I'm going to be a good steward with the time that I have with them. And so for the first time, I sat down with my schedule, got my calendar out, and I started looking at the next month. And I started looking and saying, what three nights made the most sense each week? And I remember writing, family, 6 to 10 p.m. It was equally as important as a ministry or a business meeting. It was equally as important as seminary classes. And friends, as I'm writing those words, I am seeing the destiny of two little girls change. I'm seeing a generation being impacted by the shift in my schedule. Friends, how you plan your time is huge. The impact, it impacts your future in ways that you probably cannot imagine. I mean, this has implications in every aspect of your life. So I want to challenge you today. Instead of asking, what do I need to get done in the next 30 days? I want you to expand your thinking a little bit. And ask, who do you want to become? Who do you want to become? And it is practical. It is small shifts and changes many times, but those things have a significant impact on your life, and they bring about some incredible results. Several years ago, I decided I would go back and get my doctorate in ministry. And I want you to just kind of follow this, because it's very simple. I achieved that because I put it on my schedule. For 3 years, I just blocked out the time. I had to show up, had to read, had to schedule time for reading, had to schedule time for studying, had to schedule time to get my papers written, studying for tests. But the fact that it was on my schedule, I was able to move forward one step at a time. And I use that to say, didn't take anything terribly talented. It just required me to have a schedule. That's the power of a schedule in your life. I was reading about an attorney. He really didn't like his job very much. And he really wanted to be a writer. But he wasn't sure how to do it. And so he decided what he would do as a step was he would go to his office an hour early each day. And he would write for 60 minutes. One page a day. That was kind of his goal. He put it on his schedule, and he stuck with it. He sold over 275 million books. You might have heard of him, John Grisham. And he's a dedicated Christian, by the way. And he's leveraged that stardom to make a big difference. The power of a few words written on a schedule and then lived out. You know, last few weeks, especially, we've been talking to people after the service, and this is true throughout my whole ministry. People will catch me and they'll go, I really needed this today. I almost didn't come today. I was laying in bed and I was like, should I? Shouldn't I? And after hearing this about five or six times one morning, a guy that I know really well, he came up to me and said, I almost stayed home today. And I go, really? And he kind of gave me that look. And I go, so being here wasn't on your schedule? It's not on your calendar? You get up in the morning, you go, yep, I'm going to go. He kind of gave me the look, and like I said, I know him well, so. Friends, we focused first week of this, talked about the importance of gathering. Scripture says this, it's talking about Jesus when he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. See, it was in his schedule. It's in Jesus' schedule. Who do you want to become? If you have the vaguest interest in growing in your faith, becoming someone who knows a little bit more, who has a little more direction in life, is a little more God-honoring in life, if you're interested in experiencing that abundant life that Jesus talked about, I believe a couple things should be on your calendar. You know, being in worship every week, ought to have it on the schedule. Meeting with God every day, you know, talking to God, reading a few verses, ought to be on the calendar. Writing a few words on your schedule and then actually seeing it through will determine who you become. I have seen people get in shape by scheduling 3 or 4 days a week where they work out 6 to 7 a.m. Now, you have to actually show up and do it. It's more than just writing it. But it works. I have a friend racked up a boatload of debt. Finances were a mess. A lot of tension in his life. I remember sitting with him, this was years ago, and saying to him, man, you need a plan. You need a plan. And I remember asking him, who do you want to become in this area of your life? And he said, I want to become someone who is not worried about money all the time. I want to become someone that's not juggling money around to pay the bills. And so I encouraged him. I said, you need to schedule some time for planning how you're going to spend money and save money each month. You just got to set the time aside. Put it on your calendar. You need to read. Schedule time to read about money management. I said, if you've got the time, you should set it aside and go take a class on money management. And set some realistic goals. And it's going to require you sitting down and actually doing it. And friends, he got serious about it. And he really focused on his finances. And he came up with a plan. It took him 5 years to get out of the debt he was in. And when he paid that final credit card off, he called me. And he said, I wanted you to be the first one that knows I am debt free. I said, great, you can take me out to lunch now. Yeah. He put it on his schedule, and he followed through. There's a couple I know, they called me one day. They said, we need to meet with you if we can. And so I set it up, we got together, and they just kind of blurted it out, and they said, our marriage is a mess, and we're calling it quits. And I remember looking across the desk, and I've, unfortunately, many times this has been the case. And I'm looking across the desk at two wonderful people. And the whole time I'm thinking about their kids. And so I finally kind of pressed them on this, and through kind of a Hail Mary. And I said, you've been married, what, 10 years now? They're like, yeah. I said, how about going to 10 counseling sessions? 1 hour a week, I'll hook you up with a good counselor. And because of my relationship, I pressed them a little bit. And so they kind of reluctantly said, all right, we'll give it a shot. They put the counseling on their schedule. And they persevered. And I believe they would tell you their marriage is more alive today because of that. Now, I could easily share with you that same story. Numerous couples left my office, agreed, yep, we're going to go to counseling, and never even made it to one counseling session. Or they bailed out after a few. And every time that happens, in my mind, I'm going, I just wonder, if they had gotten it on their schedule and actually committed themselves and went for 10 hours or 20 hours, maybe it would have saved their marriage. Now, maybe they would have got divorced anyway. I don't know. But friends, I believe the family is worth fighting for. You know, the flip side of that, when I see a couple that their relationship seems to be vibrant and alive and their marriage is thriving, almost always when I do a little digging, I find that they schedule time for each other. They have a date night, you know, weekly or a couple times a month. Date night is not something that's kind of a hit and miss. Hey, let's see if it happens or not. They don't flip a coin and go, we're going out? Nope, sorry, not tonight. Friends, you can't just wait for it to happen. And they don't. They get it on the schedule. It's on the calendar. It's an appointment. It's a date. Who do you want to become? Hey, let's talk about work a little bit. And I know some of you are going to want to tune me out on this. But when you took your job, you know, when you agreed to take a position, you technically agreed to kind of a code of conduct in some way. You understood the expectations of how you would use your time. I'm going to work 9 to 5, whatever. You guys fill in the blanks here. You know, Jesus said one time with all the authority of heaven, he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And here's what I want to say to you. We should be people of our word, and schedules are important on this one. In other words, if start time's 9 o'clock, you don't roll in at 5 after 9. If lunch hour is 1 hour, you don't take an hour and 15 minute lunch. If the end of the day is 5 o'clock, you don't start packing up at 4:30. You don't. It's about a schedule. Schedules have power. I was talking to a guy a while back. He's a big businessman, and he does a lot of hiring. And we were talking one day, and he said, I'm going to hire more Mormons. And I kind of chuckled and laughed a little bit. He goes, I'm serious, Damon. And I said, well, why? He said, well, it's easy. They're honest. They show up on time. They show up sober. They don't steal. They work hard the whole time they're here. I'm going to hire more Mormons. Christians, we should set the bar in this area. You know, our schedules say an enormous amount of who we are going to become. You know, how you work, your promptness, your diligence, it speaks to character. It also will determine what kind of a witness you have in life and for the faith. Who do you want to become? You know, take a very, very close look at your schedule. Friends, it is a great predictor of who you will become in life. The fact is, if you were to bring your schedule and you go, hey, what do you think? Honest, you know, do an honest assessment of it. Some of you are well on your way to being divorced. Some of you are well on your way to becoming an absentee parent, becoming a liability at work or unemployed. You're well on your way to getting stuck in some area in life. Who do you want to become? You know, several years ago, a very, very close friend of mine, a businessman, and he was kind of spinning out, going through a divorce. And we were getting together, and I was kind of trying to help him, talk him through it. And I would give him a book to read, and he'd take it, and he'd go, hey, give me something else. And so we were using that as a way to kind of help him through that stuff. But there came a point, and I could tell he was starting to get some equilibrium in his life. And he said to me, he said, I know some things need to change. How do I do it? And I remember reaching across the table, and he had a day planner. And I grabbed it. And I said, it starts right here. And I gave him a verse. We looked at this last week. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I said to him, again, got day planner in hand. I said, you got to rearrange your priorities and your schedule. You got to seek God first. And it starts with your schedule. And it starts with your calendar. And he kind of pushed back. He said, you know, I run a real company. I have stuff to do. I said, I understand that. We all have stuff to do. But who do you want to become? Put your time with God in there first. You know, schedule church. Schedule your time with God each day. Schedule the things of God, whatever they may be. I said, then sit and fill out who you want to become in other areas of your life, and you need to set a priority to them. and then fill them in one at a time, top priority. So if you want to be a good parent, a great parent, put it in your schedule and just keep working through it. And so he started the process. And I remember he brought me several drafts of his schedule. And I would merely raise a question or two, make an observation. And after several attempts, one day he brought it. He said, "What do you think?" And both of us just go, "That's it. That's it. This is it." And we prayed. We asked God to give him the strength and the courage to really live it out. And friends, he started. He started giving God the first fruits. He didn't miss church. He started having his devotions every day. He started serving on worship team. He had some relational repairs that he needed to go through to get some things worked out with his ex-wife. And he made a commitment. He said, "I'm going to go talk to her and see what we can do." And they ended up scheduling a few counseling sessions so they could learn how to communicate for the kids' sake. Now, they didn't get remarried, but they learned to forgive each other. And they learned how to communicate for the kids. He made his kids high priority, started planning date nights with each of them, actually planned vacations. Friends, over the course of a couple years, I watched him become the person he wanted to be, who God created him to be, called him to be. And I believe if you were to talk to him today, he would tell you it all started with him looking at his schedule, reprioritizing, rearranging, revamping. There is power in this. Fill in a time, you know, putting that thing in family, 6 to 10, and then actually living it out. Now, here's the homework. You didn't see this coming, did you? I want to challenge you to get your schedule out, your calendar, your smartphone, whatever it is that you keep track of stuff, and to type it in that you're going to deal with your schedule. You can do it right now while I'm talking if you need to. Just say, "I'm going to set aside a couple hours to look at my schedule," put it in. You pick the day, you pick the hour, you pick the time, but do it. You know, do it when you get home. Pencil it in, say, "This is what I'm going to do." And then sit down with God and draft a seek God first schedule. And instead of writing down all the stuff you got to do, because we all got stuff to do, ask yourself who you want to become in each area of your life. As a Christian, who do you want to become? As a spouse, who do you want to become? As a parent, who do you want to become? And incidentally, that is the order for those three things: God, spouse, kids. As a worker, a boss, friend, schedule it. Schedule time with your spouse. Schedule time with your family. Write it down. Write family night, you know, date night with spouse, date night with the kids, vacation. Get this stuff on your schedule. You know, start scheduling those things around those relationships, you know, plans, activities. And then you actually got to follow through with it and do it. I mean, maybe you need to get out of debt. You know, finances are a mess. Then schedule time to deal with your finances. Maybe you need counseling. Get it on the schedule. Maybe you need to read on a particular topic so you can work better or smarter or whatever. You schedule the time to read and study. Take a class. You know, you're going to get back in shape? Schedule it. Just get it on the schedule and then actually go to the gym and work out or wherever it is you're going to work out. You know, maybe you're in a dead-end job. Instead of complaining about it for the next 20 years, do something about it. You know, maybe you need to go back to school. Schedule it. Maybe you need to start looking elsewhere. Schedule it. It will get you on a better track. Friends, you are not going to become fundamentally different until you make a commitment on your schedule and then actually live it out. You're just not. And it pains me to watch people 20 years later still complaining about the thing 20 years ago. It's like, schedule and do something about it. Who do you want to become? And then just knock it off each area of your life. How you use your time, it is a spiritual thing. And it will determine who you become. It will. I'm going to invite the band back up. And friends, I really want to challenge you on this. I know it seems pretty fundamental. And I know some of you go, well, I don't keep a schedule. Well, start keeping one then. You know, someone said, oh, it's all up here. Nah. Get it on paper where you can see and go, who am I going to become if I live this schedule out? It's quite revealing. Quite revealing. God created you. God has called you. Do not waste the time that God has given you. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you. You created us fearfully and wonderfully. God, I just pray that we'd lay our schedules before you. We'd start scheduling our lives in such a way that we're not just ran to death, but we're becoming who you called us to be, who you created us to be. God, I believe who we long to be. God, give us the wisdom and the courage to just shake it up. Make some changes. God, we want that abundant life. God, I pray that whatever needs change, that we'll just follow through and push through and persevere. God, I pray that we would just rise against the tide in this world that would just have us fritter away our lives, to live less than lives. God, we give you the glory with what we say, what we do. God, I pray we'd be a good steward with the time that you give us. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. And God's people said, amen.